If you ever wanted to know how your ovaries affect your training, what ISA is best for your retirement, or which protein powder will cause diarrhea, then look no further. Welcome to the I Cannot Believe It podcast. We'll discuss everything you need to know with practical advice and instant application to your life with experts across every industry in the Royal Borough. I'm Greg Mikolab and I run Icon Gym, but we don't just talk fitness. In fact, we talk very little about fitness because we talk a lot about it in the gym. Our members, though, are people first and foremost. They have their questions, worries, and plans. So in this podcast, I will be dispelling common myths, worries, and things that everyone should know, but few do, by collaborating with local experts. We'll talk about recycling, mortgages, planning for retirement or holiday, and periods. Stay tuned if you want to know more about helpful stuff in life.
I had French toast with blueberries inside.
That's cool. Did you do a brioche bread?
No, just regular wholemeal bread.
Did you let it stale for a bit?
No, was that a thing?
That's how you make that's the French toast way. So French toast was created to reuse
stale bread.
Because it's a bit harder, so you soak it, so it doesn't fall apart, and then you fry it.
So actually that's like bread and butter pudding.
French toast was a French answer to bread and butter pudding.
Gotcha. I didn't know that.
You wouldn't have a bread and butter pudding for breakfast though, would you?
No, probably not.
You'd know life is kind of falling apart when you have that. To be fair,
I've definitely had worse things for breakfast.
Yeah, I wanted to say, bread and butter pudding is kind of like, actually life is falling apart in a good way, very upscale way. So it's funny that something that was created for poor and to sustain and to reduce waste, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, we can talk about, yeah.
Is now in a really nice restaurant. So French toast, did you make it today?
Yeah, this morning.
Did you use icing sugar?
No.
Ooh.
Drizzle of honey.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I wanted to say, did you use some syrup? So, okay, fresh bread.
Fresh bread.
Thick cut?
Relatively, yeah.
Did they not fall apart? No. Because that was the risk when you soak it.
Yeah, no.
I feel we spent on the question that I wanted to set the audio a little bit too long, but that's okay.
That's okay.
It's okay. So
we've gone into some detail then.
That's okay. We're going to go into more details today. So, I want to talk to you because, A, you are local.
Yeah.
And you do a very awesome, creative thing with your product. So it's very... I think it's rare that you see someone that when a new product is released, that is very much... or just follows your way of thought and essentially your invention. Yeah. And as you said, you might not tell me everything because there's so many trade secrets here, like the WD-40 or Coca-Cola. but I just would like to find out essentially what you do. What I initially, when I met you, you were a vendor at the Christmas stall of selling protein or peanut crisps, right? Peanut protein crisps.
Yeah, you got
for
it.
A poll, it's a tongue twister.
Yeah.
And then, so, you know, from my point of view I run a gym, people come here, people want to get stronger, some want to lose weight, always, regardless of the scenario, you always prioritize protein. And I looked, okay, calories are the same as regular crisps or thereabouts. Very tasty. And in the pack, you have 19 grams or 21 grams of protein, which is the sort of, again, from my point of view, that is the requirement for MPS, for muscle protein synthesis. Yeah. So very important because sometimes a lot of crisps or bars advertises high protein, but they actually have 9, 7 or 10 grams of protein, which is pointless. On its own, yours aren't. Yours are very good. They taste great. You have two good flavors. But then when we chatted later, you said you make crisps. Then out of that, you make
peanut oil and bird food.
Peanut oil and bird food. So essentially, you create a product that doesn't go to waste at all.
Yeah, so essentially take some take peanuts and make three different products from one nut so that it's all zero waste in that manner. And designed in such a way that the production process was that nothing would go to waste, right? So from the beginning, that was always the aim. It's just more recently that that's come about that I was able to sell the bird food and the peanut oil. The peanut protein crisps were the flagship product, the one that I'm most proud of.
So that's what it started.
Yeah, exactly. The creativity and all of that came about with the peanut protein crisps, which are essentially peanuts that are really good for you. You kind of mentioned a lot of that. So you've got 17 to 19 grams of protein in a bag, depending on the flavor. So for context, that's more than 70 grams of steak. That's in one bag. You've got more fiber than two slices of wholemeal bread. You've got 14, 15 different vitamins and minerals in there. Again, calorie-wise, it's on par with other snacks of its kind. And there's 35% less fat and 80% less carbs than regular potato chips. So nutritionally, they're really on point. They taste good and they are unlike anything else on the market, to be honest. They, in terms of taste, texture, nutrition, they're really quite unique. And it's not because I do anything particularly special with peanuts. I don't fortify anything. There's nothing nefarious in the processing. It's really just that peanuts are really very good for you. And what I've done is I've stripped the fat from the peanut to create the peanut oil. And in doing so, concentrated all that goodness into the crisps.
That's awesome. That is a very good, can I just gotta say, that is a very condensed, good line about it as well. You clearly practiced. Also, when it comes to fiber, because I have your nutritional information sheet in front of me.
Yeah.
What I find really crazy, I don't know obviously how much insoluble or soluble fiber within that, but so normal recommendation for health is about 10 grams of fiber per 1,000 calories in your food. So they have 6 to 7 grams in a 170 calorie portion. So you have six times the amount of fiber. So you could advertise them as high protein and high fiber.
Absolutely.
In a very legit way. Same with the vitamin content. They're very, I probably the healthiest crisps. It's almost like I would like to, this to rebrand, because I almost think I wanted to tell you that actually when we met, that branding them as protein crisps almost does them a disservice because of how much of protein crisps or protein products are there in the market.
It's and almost like so much else in there.
Yeah. And it's almost like, how do you stand above that? So that's,
and then you get to the point where you feel like you're talking too much about too many things. I think that's the key, which is where the protein comes in, perhaps. But
yeah,
I agree with you. There's so much in there that peanuts are just fantastic for you, as are many other nuts.
Unless you are allergic to them, then they're not good.
Unless you're allergic.
So don't take your earth nuts on the plane.
No, definitely do not.
Just a precaution. For anyone that doesn't know that if you have a peanut allergy, you don't eat peanuts. So they still allergic to people with peanut allergy.
They're absolutely not advised for someone with a peanut allergy.
Well, that's your chink in the armor then. I found it. I'm not. But they are great. They are the best thing since sliced bread. And sliced bread is great. You can make French toast with it.
You can make French toast with it with blueberries in.
Yeah, or bread and butter pudding.
Indeed.
So, and funny enough, I just had a call just before we spoken.
Oh, yeah.
I just had a call with someone who works for Kingsmill. So they produce bread. Yeah. So, so there's a lot of bread talk today. So can you, because I really like the story. I don't know if you want to share the story. How did you, because you said this is your product that you are most proud of.
Yeah.
And can you tell me how you went about to, were you a peanut fan?
Well, yeah, I always was a peanut fan, but incredibly, because we were talking about allergies just now, it actually came about when, after my son had an allergic reaction to peanuts, which may sound counterintuitive, of course, to create a peanut brand off the basis of his peanut allergy, but we lived in Singapore at the time, and we had access to an immunotherapy program there, which is essentially a desensitization program. It takes the allergen and gives the patient it in small portions over time until they can eat it. So So we're in Singapore. We moved there when he was about two. I was heavily pregnant with my second. And then when she is 4 days old, he has an allergic reaction to peanut butter. So he'd never been allergic to peanuts before. So it was a big shock to us. He was rushed to hospital. And later, after having tests and whatnot, we discover, okay, so he's allergic to peanuts. And he's also allergic to maybe eight other tree nuts. So we had about nine nuts in total that he was allergic to. We got given an EpiPen and shown how to use it and told to go home.
Oh, wow. That's terrifying.
Yeah. And I think that experience is shared by a lot of people. So then you avoid nuts and you go about your business. But we were really lucky because a few years later, we found that there was this program. It was really quite new and cutting edge. I think it still is. But Singapore had a wonderful doctor in place who was running this program of desensitization. So we put him forward. And basically, to fast forward slightly, we end up doing this desensitization program for all of the nuts that he's allergic to, which was awesome. Then we have this really interesting...
So wait, your son is fine now?
Yeah, so we went from completely avoiding nuts to eating an abundance of nuts, which is the strangest swing.
That must have been quite scary as well, experience, as a parent.
As a parent, it's a very, it is scary. And I would say, I guess, also, if anyone is listening that does have an allergy, it's absolutely not to be done at home. And it was all done in the hospital under, you know, strict supervision from the doctors and this kind of thing.
I wonder if UK does programs like that. That's...
They have some, but I think they tend to be private trials. I would love it to be available on the NHS. It would be amazing, but so far it's not. It involves a huge amount of coordination between home and hospital and parents and kids, as the case may be, or adults. So I think that's the danger with a program like that. It really needs quite tight supervision throughout that patient's life.
Right.
Or throughout the treatment program. So we did that. And then he ended up basically having bowlfuls of nuts every day, because in order to keep maintain that tolerance level, we're talking he was having 12 peanuts, 50 pine nuts, you know, 10 cashews.
Right. So it was a specific amount of each of the nuts
that we had decided was a good place to stop. So we decided, right, a good portion of peanuts is 12 peanuts.
Right.
If you spread one toast with peanut butter, it's roughly 5-6 peanuts. So we said, look, say he can eat two slices of peanut butter on toast, or say one Snickers bar is like 21 peanuts. So we said, okay, say half a Snickers bar. And it was just a random number, but we stopped at 12. But we did that with each and every nut. But then he was having so many nuts a day, it was unsustainable. So that was the genesis of the idea, because I started to look at, okay, how can I make this more interesting, more fun for him, and so that it's sustainable, that he'll continue eating nuts? So I started to look at ways to concentrate the protein down. And
okay, so you came up with a concept of peanut crisps to get more peanuts
into him. Because the body reacts to the protein, and actually when you eat a nut, 50% of that is fat. It's very satiating.
There are questions here, right? How you gave peanuts to your son with a peanut allergy, and you force him to eat crisps, which, you know, it's a bad thing. So, I mean, I have questions. No, I'm joking, obviously. But so how did this, you wanted a more sustainable, more fun way for your son to eat more peanuts.
Essentially, yeah.
And then you sort of started Googling it. You looked in the shops, and then
I started looking to see what there was out there. Obviously, the first port of call is, can I buy something like that? Mm-hmm. Am I missing something here? Obviously, this was a fairly unique problem to have, and I couldn't find anything. So yeah, so you start Googling, you start reading, you know, bought a machine here or there and started playing around, very much kitchen countertop type experiment stuff. But then somewhere along that line of inquiry, you realize, oh, hey, I think there's something in this. You know, we've got an extremely high protein snack, of which it wasn't yet a crisp, but I knew it could be something.
Yeah.
And it's vegan and it's gluten-free and it's good for keto diets. And I just, you know, and there was very little in this space in terms of protein products. A lot of them are of a sweet variety.
Yeah.
You've got your cookies and cream protein bars and that kind of thing. So in the savory space, there wasn't much.
No, and if it is still in a sort of like, I would love to see your product in a supermarket, but when you go to a supermarket now, you know, those high fiber, high protein crisps or like pop chips or anything of that variety doesn't have a quarter of what your products have, which is wow.
And I always want to, you know, that was really important to me in terms of value for money as well. You know, it has to be, so many things say that they're healthier or say that they're sustainable. And it takes a fair amount of thought and processing when you really look into that to kind of go, but is it, or is this better? And, you know, which is the right choice for me? And I wanted to try and hit all of the things as well as I possibly could. So from a sustainable perspective, it's the packaging, it's the paper-based bag. And from the nutrition perspective, it's like, you know, there's no undue processes going on. The ingredients are all like whole foods and good. And there's, you know, no E-numbers, preservatives, additives, all the rest of it.
Wow. So was that the first... So first thing was to create a product for your son. It wasn't like to create a product to actually sell. It was to create a product for your son. But then when you realize there is a gap in the market, essentially, which is still, you know, as far as I know, it's only filled by yourself. To the level that it is done. Did you then start looking, okay, if I am to gonna go into a peanut crisp business, how can I make this sustainable?
Yeah.
Zero waste. And what else can I do with the waste product almost of creating peanuts? Is that how you then sort of approached it?
Yeah. So I think when I looked into it and realized, okay, I think there's something in this and we can make it commercially viable, then of course the obstacles are, how do I make it? How do I make it sustainably? Most crisp packets, in fact, the vast majority of them are not recyclable, or in technically they can be recycled, like the tech is there, but it's not cost effective. They're fused materials, that kind of thing. There's a reason why they use them, because they are incredibly good at keeping crisps crispy. So then the search went on for something that would replicate that and have the shelf life that you would need for crisps, but also in a way that would be more sustainable. Paper-based packaging, I felt I came to in preference to compostable and all the others out there as well, because I feel like it is the most accessible across the country. Everybody's got curbside paper recycling, because a lot of things are sold to you as recyclable, but actually, if it's not curbside for people, it's not going to happen. People aren't going to save their plastic, flexible plastics, and take them to the recycle bin at the supermarket, you know?
I mean, I had a, we did a podcast that will probably release after yours that, with Nelly, who runs the zero waste shop in Maidenhead. And we talked about that. It's all about accessibility to people. Kind of like, I'm not, obviously I'm biased to turn everything into fitness, but you essentially, for us in fitness, is how to, how you lower the barriers to exercise for people, because people have so many barriers that they put themselves sometimes, you know, subjective barriers, but also there are objective ones. And that's how you sort of come up with a product that, okay, I'm trying to solve every possible issue here.
Yeah.
And that's the best I came up with. So buy me. So that's sort of what you looked at as well, that you want, it's almost like you lower, to make it truly recyclable, you didn't only think about recycling paper, I would just stick to that word. But you also thought about the consumer behavior, like what would people do with that packaging once they're done?
Yeah, and just simple things. I've always been a back reader, I think they call them. You know, the people who pick up a product and read the back. I feel like we're a minority, but I've always checked, okay, is this recyclable? How do I recycle it? And they typically have the symbol with the number inside, if you've ever seen it. And then it will say check local recycling, of which, of course, you know, you want to just put it in a bin.
You're not going to drive to the bin. You're not going to drive on a Sunday to the tip just to put that, you know, bag of crisps.
Yeah, or even if you go onto your local council's website to check, it's not easy to find out.
No,
you
it know, isn't.
There's, like you say, there's too many barriers. I want to turn over the packet and I want to be told this goes in the food waste bin, right? Or this goes in landfill, or this goes in recycling. And you know which bin you're putting it in, you feel confident that, you know, you've done right by that particular material.
Can I ask you a weird question?
Okay, sure.
Why do you care?
Because we create too much waste. And if we can minimize that, then surely that's a better thing. I mean, one of the also biggest challenges with Earth Nuts to begin with was being able to sell it in a refill environment as well, because I felt like that was very important to me from a waste perspective. I think the zero waste, the consumer behavior with regards to zero waste maybe took a hit with COVID. I think pre-COVID, it was really on its way up. A lot of the supermarkets were now bringing in those kind of refill stations and that kind of thing. But I still believe the future is in refill. You know, and I'm set up for that as well. We sell in refill stores and pubs on a refill basis. Like, they fill up little shot glasses and things like that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Because I the only supermarket I've seen in the UK is Budgens that has refill stations. Mm. And it's not every... I know the one where close to where I live has it. One in Maidenhead does not, as far as I'm aware.
Mm.
But they are bringing, okay, rice, pasta.
Yeah. And some delivery services now. So you've got more of the milkman type services happening. You know, Modern Milkman, Milk and More, that kind of thing. I know Abel and Cole do a refill service now. So I do think that it's becoming more common, and that's great. And I want Earth Nuts to be in that space as well, because if we can avoid the packaging entirely, then why not?
Very conscientious.
Where it's not possible, then we use the paper-based packaging.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. Does your son eat them?
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Okay. That's perfect. That's awesome. That's awesome. So, okay. So you created the, like, is it, are you allowed to say, or how much are you allowed to say what is that dried nut? Because it looks like a monkey nut in a shell.
Yeah. So for just anybody flat. Who hasn't seen it, it's effectively shaped like a peanut. It's hollow. It's light, delicate. And
tasty.
Yes, and very tasty. I'm glad you agree.
I do, actually. I was quite peckish this afternoon, so I'm glad you brought
there's
two
a bag
packets.
Here, yeah.
So I won't be eating now on a whole year after.
So they're shaped like a peanut intentionally, absolutely from a perspective that, you know what, I always used to think when you go to a party and somebody puts some crisps into a bowl. Once you've opened that bag of crisps, with the exception of a few brands, you generally don't know what crisps those are once you take that bag away. I wanted it to be recognizable. I think it is. And certainly from an allergen perspective as well, it's nice to have a bit of a visual impact on people before they put their hands in. Because, you know, if you do have a peanut allergy, you don't expect peanuts to be in crisps. So it's a nod to both of those things.
And it's a highly competitive market from like a business side of things.
Mm.
Obviously, I want to sort of go a little bit about that.
Go for it.
Just checking how much time we have here a little bit. So I used to train someone who was a brand manager of a upmarket crisp brand.
Right.
There was the created as an arm for like the main brand is a very, very popular crisp brand that, you know, most people eat most days.
Yeah.
And they wanted to shoot into more upmarket brand, you know, with nicer, thicker packaging,
right.
Think paper packaging like yours.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a lot of money thrown into that. Mm-hmm. I mean, essentially, that was a big corporation right behind it. Mm-hmm. Massive. And they were paying, as far as I remember, hundreds of thousands of pounds to the supermarket just to be on the shelf of a supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one particular supermarket that I won't mention, but Tesco wanted, I think, something like hundreds of thousands of pounds, essentially, to stock that product on the shelf, which is, you know, I'm from the generation that believes what happens on Apprentice is real. You make a phone call, you sit with three people, and that's it. I was shocked. So I was shocked with that. And another thing, and you know, all they did is tried crisps and tried to go into the market. And they failed miserably, like badly after, I don't think that brand lasted more than a year.
Wow.
And you went into like properly competitive market, but I feel you went with a fantastic niche in your product. Like your product stands alone as a product. It's like the way I think about your product is before Grenade, there were other protein bars, but then Grenade happened. You know, before BrewDog, people were drinking IPA.
Yeah.
Right? But then BrewDog happened. I honestly think your brand is that for crisps.
Wow, thank you.
So that's what I say. I love your brand.
Thank you.
I'm a fan.
I would love to be in the same sentence as BrewDog and Grenade. It's very cool.
You can eat crisps with beer. They actually taste good with beer. I tried your crisps with beer. They do go well. Told me to try it, and I did. And I tried it with BrewDog beer, and it went really well with Punk APA.
Yeah.
But that's sort of beside. So you entered it without having the business. You didn't start it with a business push, right? You started because of care and love for your son.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it had to be viable as a business, of course.
Exactly.
Right? To make it happen. But yeah, the genesis of the idea came from that. And then I think it just followed that line of curiosity, and it sort of became something. It snowballed, became something else. Yeah,
but from a very strong purpose. And can you, by when you sort of realize, okay, I'm doing the nuts that are shaped like a shell of a monkey nut, as I said.
Yeah.
Or maybe like a, you know, those like Greek statues you have, headless, like woman on the side. It kind of like, you could see it in a museum, right?
You could. Oh,
I think you should like Photoshop it in like a few museums around the world. That should be your Instagram page. And obviously I gave you the idea here. It does look like it. I can't unsee it now. So when did
Especially
you realize?
Especially when the logo is like that. They're all around you.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, the statues. So the crisps that look like a statue, like a Greek statue.
Like a Greek statue, yeah.
Without the small, you know, thing that the Greek statues have at the bottom.
Wow, this took a turn.
It did took a turn. It wasn't meant to be a family-friendly podcast. What then you thought, okay, I have the oil.
Yeah.
And what with the bird feed? Because that is like, so it's essentially there are three things that are so different.
What is oil
used for? Peanut oil.
Right, so peanut oil is typically a cooking oil. It's got high smoke point, very high smoke point.
That was my next question, actually.
Yeah. It's fantastic for cooking with. It's typically used in Southeast Asian cuisine because it can survive a really high heat under a wok. It's high in vitamin E. So vitamin E is a fat-soluble vitamin, so it's the only vitamin that travels through to the oil and doesn't stay in the crisps. Heart-healthy fats, so lots of unsaturated fats. And it's a lovely sort of mild, nutty flavor, essentially.
So can you add it to a salad, for example?
You absolutely can. You can add it to a salad.
Like a sesame oil, but you wouldn't?
You can. It's not commonly used like that. Typically, it's used for cooking. In fact, at the moment, though, I'm developing some infused flavors so that we can I have a bit of a range of things going on. I've also got another flavor coming for the crisps. So that's all in development. But then the aim would be that you could have your dressing oils, your flavored ones, and then your cooking oil. But you could absolutely use the plain peanut oil on a salad.
Smoke point. I think that's very important because obviously for frying. And if you can sustain a wok, it's a very high smoke point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, because you don't see many of them in, like, regular shops.
You mean groundnut? So it's otherwise known as groundnut oil in the supermarkets. You might see it as that.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I call it peanuts because, again, you just want to see that line of, well, it's peanut protein crisps and it's peanut oil. It's all the same nut. But typically, for some reason, and I'm not clear why, it's usually known as groundnut oil. You can find it in the supermarkets, but yeah, typically we don't cook with it as much as we do, say, vegetable oil.
No, we probably should.
Although we should.
And, you know, if it's crazy, zero waste for you. And who do you, So I'm guessing this is something you would sell to a restaurant or a sort of that sells sort of, you know, Eastern cuisines or?
I mean, absolutely. Or on a refill basis, yeah. Or just in a farm shop or deli. So you
and
can
that,
buy
okay.
small,
Do
sort
you,
of 250 ml bottles.
And does everything come on under the brand of Earth Nuts?
It does, yeah.
Okay.
So you've basically got Earth Nuts peanut protein crisps, Earth Nuts peanut oil, and then the Earth Nuts bird food.
So you created crisps, then you have the oil.
Yeah, and then the bird food.
And then what's left, is it like a last part of it? Or is it almost simultaneously you are with those three products?
Yeah, I mean, it's not completely simultaneously, but yes, when you've stripped the fat from the peanut to create the oil, so that's all done traditionally and carefully. It's essentially like juicing a nut so that the oil is separated. And there is a sort of, for want of a better word, a sediment that is left over that's neither good for the oil nor the crisps.
Okay.
And that is perfect for the birds. Mixed in with a bit of seed and oats and that kind of thing, it's essentially still just a fatty peanut product that you can shape into something for them to eat, which is great at this time of year. It's damn cold outside today.
Wow. So it did not require more research on your part to, like, what do I do with this waste product now?
Yeah, absolutely. It was an idea from the get-go, but that took a little bit longer to get around to researching, because a lot of my efforts was on the crisps and the oil. Obviously, something for human consumption goes through more tests and more research and development. This still needed some, but slightly less. And there's a lot more on the market to kind of, just really help you get to that conclusion quicker and that formulation and recipe.
That's amazing. So that really changed the way, because the way I thought about your product, you started with, okay, how we are introduce my son to more fun way of eating more nuts in order to keep desensitized him to the nut allergy he had when he was four.
Yeah, it was two, but then later four or five, he went through the treatment. Yeah.
And then sort of everything almost spun after that.
Mm.
But it actually seems like that's what it started. But then you had the end goal of, like, if I'm going to create a product, it's going to be a zero waste product. And then you try to figure out how to arrive at that.
Essentially, yeah, because I'm very much the sort of person that felt, there was a lot of deliberation over that time. I want to do this, but I don't want to do it in the wrong way. I want to
That's
do
amazing.
It, and I want to sort of follow these principles. And so it took a while to achieve all of those things.
Okay. Now, questions about you. Were you always a businesswoman or entrepreneur? Do you call yourself that?
Not so often at the moment, but I should.
Okay.
No, I wasn't always. I mean, so before this, I was a mum at home. And before that, it was sort of marketing and product design and things like that. So yes is the answer, I guess, in terms of business. I did a business degree. It's always been of interest to me. And I've always wanted to run my own business. But of course, you wait for something that's going to be commercially viable and that's going to work. So I was always very good at the ideas over time. But you'll find most of the ideas don't really get past a lot of those initial questions.
So I'm guessing this was never an idea before the necessity came about.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. So did you ever think your business idea, the one you will actually go with,
was going to be
will be in around food?
Possibly, yeah, because I've always been interested in food.
I've always eaten.
My mum was a dietitian growing up.
Okay.
So I always had a lot of interest in nutrition and diet from the get-go. Like I said, I'm one of those back readers. Even before it really made much difference to me, I would check. I'm maybe not even buying the product, but I would check. I'd be interested. I'd look, that kind of thing. So I did think maybe it might be in food, but it was always going to be a big punt since I don't have a food background.
That's amazing. It's like when people say that your goals, you know how you sort of set the goals, that it's never like a line or even a sort of twiddle line. It's almost like a circle, and you arrive at somewhere around the destination.
Yeah.
In a place you probably didn't expect to be. So you just, or like my sister says, that you always reach your goals, but at a different timeline that you wanted, and in a very different way that you imagined. So, oh wow, okay. And so, how to find you? That is probably the most important. So people listen to it, they're like, okay, I want to try some nuts with my beer, or I want to, you know, just eat something really palatable that is healthy for me.
Absolutely. So it's www.earthnuts.com. So that's spelled earthnutz.com. So it's
Funky
a Z
nuts with a Z.
Yeah, exactly. .com. .com. At peanut_protein_crisps on Instagram. And I believe we've also arranged a 20% discount for
members.
So we can send out some kind of email afterwards with that discount code.
Absolutely.
Well,
we'll send the discount to people who are in my email list for the gym.
Yeah.
For Icon. Okay, cool. I mean, do you have anything you...
No, I think we've covered a lot. Yeah, it's been great.
I love it. Thank you very much, Abby.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I will press...